I offer my most humble pranams and my complete self at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Lord Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Sai Ram, brothers and sisters, it's true that when I proposed to Ellen, she said, yes, but we have to go see Swami as soon as possible. We were both living in New York City and freelance musicians at that time. And amazingly, at Christmas time, I had 2 weeks where I had no gigs, no concerts, which was quite unusual. Ellen was the same thing, so we had this window. Because as a freelance musician, one does not like to say no, because then one may not get called back again. So we didn't have to say no to anything. And we went, as Ellen said, that was Christmas 1985. We spent 1 week in Whitefield and 1 week in Prashantinilayam, and then I had to come back to the USA, and Ellen was able to stay for another 10 days and followed Swami with some American ladies to Chennai. In Whitefield, it was my was the first time being there, and it was on the sands before the roof had been built there. One of the first darshans, I had a front row, and there weren't many people, a couple hundred on the men's side. And that incredible seeing Swami come out from the door and just walk across the sands the way he would walk, and the gown trailing along the ground behind him. And I had a photograph of Ellen and I when we had gotten married, and I wanted Swami to bless it. So I was holding the photo, and he came, and he looked at me, he looked at the photo, looked at me, looked at the photo, looked at me. When we were there for Christmas, I had a beard. And when we had gotten married, I didn't have a beard. I looked around and I realized, okay, off with the beard. So right after that darshan, with a Swiss Army knife, scissors, I cut it off and shaved. And one of the darshans, I was so excited because Swami had made vibhuti for some of the people adjacent to me, and it had sprinkled onto me, and I felt so blessed by that. I had a 35 millimeter camera that I had to change the roll while we were en route to India. We were actually in Egypt over the pyramids, and I put a new roll of film in, and I was taking so many nice pictures of the pyramids. And then at that time in the ashram, one was able to have a camera. So I had my camera there, and I had taken so many beautiful close-up photos of Swami. And he was just like right there, and I'm just clicking away. The following week, when we were in Prashantinilayam, shortly before I was leaving, I took a photo of that gate, that main gateway, that entryway. And as I was moving to, move the film to the next thing, I noticed that the spindle on the other end wasn't turning. And so all those nice photos that I had taken of Swami, I had to keep imprinted in my mind. And I felt Swami was just smiling at me. I want to say about that first time when Swami was looking at the photo of Ellen and I, being so close to him, I was not prepared for what I saw looking into his eyes. The depth that it was incomprehensible the depth that is in his eyes. And I had never I'd never seen anything like that before, and it touched me at my core, that vastness. Because see, before we went to India, I really didn't know much about Swami. Many of you know Phil Gosselin. He lived, and his wife and family lived just outside Woodstock, New York, which is where Ellen lived. And we went to their home to watch a video of Swami, and that was my first experience. That was probably around 1982, 1983. In Prashantinilayam, on that first visit, it was the sands and the Ganesh in the middle there. And one of the days, I was only there for 6-7 days, one of the days, I just felt I needed to go sit at that gate, the archway where the sands are, men's side, ladies' side, the Ganesh, and then the mandir there. And so I sat right by that arch. There were no sevadals. There were two or three men dressed in black, the Indians that come there on pilgrimage, I think. And I was just sitting there, nobody else around. All of a sudden, Swami comes out of his residence, out of the mandir. And he walks, and he comes out, and he walks around the Ganesh, and he comes, and he stands right in front of me. Right? So, I mean, right in front of me. So I'm sitting here. The guys are then leaning over me. The Indian fellows are leaning over me, talking to Swami, and he's standing right in front of me. I'd seen people touch Swami's feet. I had never done it. I hadn't had the opportunity. But I'm thinking, okay, I'll get my nerve up. But I was a little sheepish, so I just reached, and I just touched his left foot with my right hand. And the gown was there, so I think I had to just sort of get under the gown a little bit. And he didn't say anything to me, but he was there for, it was a good minute. And for those of you who have interacted with Swami or Darshan, you know, a minute is a long time. That's 60 seconds. That's just 5 seconds. So 12 times that, it was incredible. And then I touched his foot, and he then turned and slowly walked back to the mandir and went inside. And I thought, I was just so grateful. I didn't know what it meant. The thought went through my head, oh, why didn't I touch both of his feet? And I prayed for an opportunity to touch both of his feet. And that opportunity was granted, not on that trip, but when we went back then in 1997. In the men's canteen, their Western canteen there at the ashram, there is the one of Swami's sayings. I'm sure we all know that. Know that I am always with you, prompting you and guiding you. Live always in that constant presence. So that feeling that Swami is guiding us. And then for me, that has been... it's been a guiding principle for me, and feeling Swami's guidance and his promptings, and often in ways that I would, I'd be prompted to do something that I hadn't thought about before. While Ellen was still in India on that first trip, so this is in January 1986, I went back to school. I was working on my doctorate at a school in New York City called Juilliard Music School. And I went into the placement office. I wanted to see about getting, finding a music festival where we could go for the summer as classical musicians. And there was a bookshelf with binders, black loose leaf binders. And I was reaching for the one that said summer music festivals. And as I'm reaching for it, my hand is like this, and some force took my hand and just moved it over like that. It was about 18 inches. And I didn't physically feel something grab my hand, but something moved it because my intention was to go for that. And I'm looking at it, and then my hand goes like that. And so I looked at the folder, the binder that was there, and it said university positions. I pulled out the binder, and I looked through it, and there were lots of Xeroxes of university positions. And the position that I now have at the University of Colorado was being advertised. When Ellen came home from India, I picked her up at the airport, and we had that shocking experience of going to the supermarket and all those options to eat. Then we got to our little home out in Long Island, and out on the table I had an atlas of Colorado. And I said, what do you think about moving to Colorado? Now, I said Swami brings things that are unexpected. While I was a student, I was preparing, my goal was to play in a top symphony orchestra, and that's what I wanted to do. And it hadn't crossed my mind that I could be teaching at a university full time. It just hadn't entered my mind at all. And the university position, it took some miracles for me to get that. There are a number of those, but I think I won't go into that. To make a long story short, I went and interviewed, and the day I was supposed to interview on April 1st, and Ellen said, Swami, he needs some kind of a miracle, because I wasn't quite ready for part of the interview. And I got to the gate, and they said, sir, your flight's been canceled because of the airport in Denver. There had been a blizzard. And I was able to go a week later, and then everything worked beautifully. And in fact, that very day that I was there, they offered me the job. Over the years, that job has been incredible because it's given me so much time to be in India. The summers and then Christmas holidays. And so many times people have said, how can you manage to be here so long? And he manages. In 1997, when we went for the first time with Jeffrey and Robbie, as Ellen said, we had planned to be there for 3 weeks. And actually, I was on sabbatical, and we were in Germany at the time, and I had plans to interact with some bass players there, double bass players, research. And at one point, it was Jeffrey, if you said, Dad, I think we need to go to India now. And we had standby tickets. And so we just talked about it a little bit. So, okay, let's see if we can get on the flight. And the next day we were on the plane. And it turns out that we arrived the day that Swami got onto the Golden Chariot. We missed the Golden Chariot because he got on that in the morning, and we were in the Bombay domestic airport. But we arrived in the afternoon, the chariot was there, and it was quite amazing. Listen to your kids. I try to. I don't always do it, but I don't try. Do. 3.5 weeks we were there, and during that time I began, through miraculous circumstances, I began to interact with the boys in the band. It was during their holidays. It was in the beginning of October, and there were just a handful, about 6 or 7 of the 33 men in the band. And I was working with them. Similar things, as I was saying after yesterday, working with the rhythm, because that was a big thing, getting the precision of everybody playing together, working on the clarity of how we start the notes and we worked on the tuning. There was a little Casio keyboard in there, and so I was playing some harmonies and helping them to hear what the notes were supposed to be, just like we did with Uma yesterday with the all of you doing the scale. So that kind of thing. And I did that for about a week and a half, and then the school year was resuming. Holidays were over, and the student who was in charge of the boys, the bandmaster, he said, "Sir, this has all been fine, but we now that the others are coming back, we need to have Swami's permission." So I went and I met with the warden of the hostel, and he knew that I had been working with the boys, and I asked him, "How do we get the permission?" And he said, "Well, you have to ask Swami." And I thought, okay. And that was on a Saturday. And so on Sunday, I had a front row in the evening, and I had a little note for Swami. And I was in that, what we would call the island, where Swami would come from down from the ladies' side. And there's the mandir, and then he'd come, and there'd be gents there and there, and then there was that area in the middle. And I was right on the corner where he'd make that turn. I was just before the end of that turn. And Swami came, and he looked at me, and I kneeled up, and I said, "Swami, can I teach the band boys?" And he says, "Oh, yes." Well, I was real excited. So then that evening, I went and I told the warden in the hostel. Swami said yes, and he was quite surprised because he had anticipated that this would take months to get the permission. But it had to be verified, and so then it went through the official channels, and the administrators then conferred with Swami to see if, in fact, he had given me permission. And it was true, and so they said, "Okay, sure, you can start working." And so then I began working with the whole band. This was now in the middle of October. And as Ellen said, we had planned to be there for 3 weeks, and the trip kept getting extended and extended. And so it got extended so I could work with the band for a little bit, a few more weeks. Then the bandmaster said, "Sir, we need a slow march for convocation." And I thought, "Okay, great. So what do you have?" They said, "We don't have anything." I said, "Well, where are you going to get it?" "Sir will give." Actually, they didn't say, "Sir will give." They said, "Sir." So I called my colleague in the College of Music, and I said, "I need a march in, as they say in India, 3x4, or three, like a waltz. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. "Paul, we don't have any marches in three." So I went back to the bandmaster. I said, "We don't have any marches in three. What are we going to do?" "Sir will write." "Okay, sir will write." So what I did then, at that time, "Sairam, Sairam, Sairam, Jai Sairam." That was a bhajan being sung very often. I had to convert it into three, so I did Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Jai Sai Ram, Parti Puri Swara Sai Ram, and went on like that. So I had the melody, and then I wrote out an arrangement, sounded a little bit like a Sousa march, Stars and Stripes, and that's what the band played. And it was a thrill. I think that first time it was the Prime Minister of India who was the guest of honor at the convocation. And the band started. Of course, there was all the writing it and writing it on the Casio. And then Robbie mentioned yesterday sitting on my lap there in Darshan. And he would just, as soon as bhajans would start, he would just fall asleep. He'd curl up like a cat in my lap. And because he was 4 years old, so And so I had my staff paper, and I was then writing, because it was before computers, so I was writing everything out like that. And then we rehearsed it, and then the convocation came, and the band lined up in the Purnachandra Auditorium. And Swami was right behind the band, back there with the flutes and clarinets. And I think it was the Prime Minister of India. There's been presidents of India, prime ministers, vice presidents, chief justice. It's been many, many dignitaries who have been the guest speakers for convocation, and they would all be led in by the band. Let's just turn on the... Can you see that okay? This is inside the Purnachandra Auditorium. And can you see? Light is... You can't switch it off. Okay.
So that's me there in the middle. And the
Purnachandra stage is off to the left. And this is the third uniform that the band had. So they had other uniform back in 1997. And let's see, I can... Oh, yeah. No, does this move it or... To move the slide, there. Okay, so here, this is, that picture was before, let's see, this is after the convocation, they've led Swami back. This photograph, by the way, though, is in 2015. So this isn't from 1997. And that is in that's the doors that Swami would go into his residence. What's that name of the residence? What is it? Vidya Mandir, yeah, that's that. So Swami would walk in there. And the band, Swami loved the band very much and gave them a lot of attention and a lot of closeness. And so after and everybody knew that. So after Swami would go into his residence, they would be able to be here out like this. And so at this point here, we're just lining up for photographs. And so this is before that previous photo. This is the band starting to come in. And when the dignitaries are back behind. But this is in 2015, so Swami is actually... only there in his, he's everywhere, but not in physical form. So that's what it looks like. The band would march in, that's the lady side. Okay, then we jump afterwards, and that's me with one of the clarinetists. This is the band when we'd be practicing at the grounds. This is now as we were getting ready for sports meet. And actually, this is the night before sports meet. Sports meet happens on January 11th. And the band practices a lot. They practice in the morning, starting around 6:30, and will practice for about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. They'll practice in the afternoon, then they'll practice in the evening. It's a real labor of love. And you see, they're just so happy. There they are, another place where they're... This is where they would have then played for the march past. And here they are getting ready to go line up for their marching in the morning sports meet. The Hanuman I was mentioning yesterday, I don't know, maybe there's another picture, is right on the hill up someplace above that black poster on the wall. There's... So there they are lined up to begin the procession for sports meet. Jeffrey, you showed some photos. Yeah, so you saw yesterday Jeffrey had the beautiful opportunity of walking next to Swami's car. And so when the band is playing for sports meet, then the car would be right behind the band. There we are afterwards, me on the second from the right with Deep, who was the bandmaster, and... They made a nice sweatshirt. the sweatshirt, the mantra or the, what would you call it for this band? The motto of the band is rhythmic energy. It was a big thing that we talked about in terms of the rhythmic discipline. And they say, rhythmic energy. So before every sports meet, before they leave the hostel, they'd all put their hands together. Everyone, sir, come on, come on. And all our hands are in there, all 34, 35 of us. And one, two, three, rhythmic energy. Rhythmic energy. Yay! And off they go. Yeah. Just so incredible to work with these fellows. Okay, so we'll just off it there for a second. So then that first year was incredible to write for the band. And that relationship continued year after year. And so every year I'd be working with the band. And Swami hardly ever talked to me about the band. One time in an interview, I asked him about the song, the bhajan I should use for the slow march, because I would take bhajans, and as I did with Sai Undut, I would convert them. I'd sort of change the melodies a little bit so that they'd have three beats, so that Sai So I said, Swami, what should I do? And he said, as you like. He didn't talk to me about it. He didn't say, okay, so how are things going with the band? You're doing a good job with the band. The band sounds great. Band doesn't sound good. You're doing a lousy job. Never anything like that. So it was all, he gave me that work, and I just did it, and there was no patting me on the back. Which I see is, you know, it was a responsibility, it was a blessed opportunity, but don't get your ego involved in it. And I was very grateful for that. Talking to Swami was amazing. Being on the veranda, because of my teaching of the band, it took a little while, but finally I got promoted, you might say, so I could sit on the veranda. And it was an amazing experience. For Darshan, Swami had a rather serious, stern demeanor often, as he'd be coming, looking around at everybody. And but on the veranda, he would, seemed like he changed. He relaxed more, and the love was the same as outside. I think maybe just outside he was having to focus on everybody. And then he came in, and then he was with those who he knew. I mean, Leonardo would know that. It's just how he would just relax. And so to see Swami talking with the devotees, it was very interesting to see these devotees, the VIPs, who when Swami was there, they were just like little kids. There was no VIP. There was only Swami, and there was only each of us just wanting Swami to look at us, wanting Swami to smile at us. And just everybody's heart melted incredibly. Let's on this again. This was in 2008. I was on the veranda, and actually Robbie had a rather high fever, and he was in the room, and I had a note to Swami about that. And so he came around, and he asked me, so I'm kneeling up. You can see, because Swami at this point was not speaking very loud, so one had to be really, really close to him. physically. So there, his head is there, I'm right there. So it's very, very close. And to be that, just the softness, the radiance, the eyes, the hair, that just the presence was incredible. Then here I'm helping Swami open the letter that I have. And Swami's reading the letter. And he's asking me then about Ravi's condition. And I'm pointing. He's in the room. And Swami was very concerned and very sweet. But this closeness, I'm just so grateful for that. And I feel that closeness with me really all the time, that affirmation of Swami's, I am always with you. Know that I'm always with you, prompting you and guiding you. Live in that constant presence. And as I said, in 19... Okay. Ah, no, let's leave. Then in 1997, when I was prompted to... When my hand moved like this, I wasn't even prompted. It just... Something grabbed it and moved it there. That was my first experience with Swami's omnipotence and working from the other side of the world. And at the time, it didn't even strike me that it was Swami who was moving my hand. It was only many years later that I thought, oh, that's what happened. Ellen and I have been thinking a lot about the theme of the retreat, self-transformation through love in action. And I was thinking about what I would do there during in India, Prashanthi Nilayam, waiting for Swami to come out on the veranda. I didn't talk much on the veranda. I really focused my attention on Swami. And I would imagine him in his residence, and I would put myself there. I tried to be there in the residence with him. Swami's essence is so expansive, so full of love. And we all experience that. And that's what I think draws all the thousands and millions to him, is that indescribable love. And Swami says, you are God and I am God. The only difference is that I know it and you don't. He says, you're three people, you know, the mind, the body, and the Atma. I never heard about the Atma before I went to see Swami. So for me, in my years there, both in the ashram and at home, was trying to understand, what is that Atma? What does it mean? How do I feel that? And I feel that Swami gives the example of, for me, that's the model of how a being can be so full of love, so radiant of love. So in those darshans before Swami would come out, I would just sit there trying to feel him, trying to expand myself. The image I had of me was like a soul, like a satellite, and just expanding the solar panels and just trying to absorb more and more light. And for me there in the ashram, it was absorbing more and more of Swami's energy. The ashram is like a washing machine. One's negative tendencies come up through interactions with different people. It's not the people, it's one's own tendencies. And no sooner does one load of wash get done, there's no drying time. Into the washing machine again, more detergent. And that experience was, you know what I mean? And it's just, there's always work to be done. And so just, I get through one thing, ego things, things of little reactions that I'd have or to people, selfish tendencies, to look at all those things. And as I'm drawing in the energy from Swami, just drawing it in and praying that those negative samskaras are washed away in his divine washing machine. So it's thinking about the self-transformation. Actually, I thought it was transformation of the self. That's somehow I had in my mind, transformation of the self through love and action. And so I was thinking about that for a long time, and I was thinking, wait a second, but the self doesn't really get transformed. Maybe the small self gets transformed. And then I was looking at another email from Jeff's, and I saw self-transformation. So self-transformation indicates work and effort. We want it, through our own effort, we transform ourselves. And the tool that we're using is love and action. And the love is in really in everything we do. How we talk to people, for my wife, how I care for her. You see, she's got some challenges right now. We're very hopeful that her condition will improve. We see definite signs of that. So for me, I have to say sometimes I get a little frustrated and sometimes a little impatient. And but she says, Paul, you know, you do a good job. And she understands I get a little frustrated sometimes. And when I get frustrated, I realize, am I loving? I'm not loving. And so I just feel love for her. And pray to Swami, pray to God that she just, things improve. I think the self-transformation is a process that we know when we're making progress. And I'm just so grateful that I have so many opportunities, even in my job as a university professor. I'm constantly working with my students. I work individually, and it's a lot about transformation. Thinking about this self-transformation thing, I realize, how many? Finished. Okay. The key is with transformation, we have a few things. I'll close with this. Is we have to know what we want to achieve. We have to know where we're at, and we have to want to change. And we also have to know that as human beings, our behaviors, the way we are, it's very ingrained. They're habits. And to change a habit is very, very difficult. And Swami says, purity, patience, perseverance. And so as we work to transform ourselves, we have to really appreciate how difficult it is. We have to be patient with ourselves. We have to love ourselves. We have to have purity of intention. And we have to keep working at it. As I said with my students, I'm seeing that all the time, how difficult it is to change. But I think when we see Swami as a model of how we can be that kind of pure, incredible love, that we see in him what we can be. And so he provides a model, and he also helps. So thank you so much. And I pray that Swami really, 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 I know he is, but I just pray that he just blesses us all with accelerated transformation. Sairam.